Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word. If you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John is one of the little bitty epistles that John wrote way back in the back of the Bible. So 1 John, the fifth chapter, 1 John 5. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, that you sent your Son, and you sent the witness and testimony for us to know and to believe that Jesus, your Son, gives us eternal life. We thank you that we can have that assurance to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where our eternity lies. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, I titled my message this morning, Know Your Way. See, John was writing this to the Christians of his day, and the Christians of his day were probably a lot like Christians of our day. They're, you know, a lot of them just aren't real sure. They aren't positive. But John wrote this, and he says, I've written this that you may know, not that you may hope, not that you may kind of believe, but that you might know. And this word know is an extremely important word. It's in the Greek, it's the word eido, and it means literally to be aware, to behold, to know, to perceive. To see, to be sure. In other words, there is absolutely no doubt. See, there's no room for doubt in our belief. But the problem is the enemy is out there and he's trying to bring doubt into our thinking. Well, is it really for sure thing, or do I have to wait till the end of my life to know, till I'm standing before the judgment seat? John said, I wrote these things that you might know that you have eternal life. We have eternal life now. The only question is, where are we going to spend that eternity? If we believe on the Son of God, he's given us an assurance that we'll be with him. But a lot of people seem to think that when we get born again, that's the beginning of our eternal life. No, the second we are conceived is the beginning of our eternal life. We are not creatures that disappear. Somebody ought to be getting happy. I tell you, we're not creatures that disappear at the end of the existence in this body. Our spirit continues on regardless. And John said, I wrote these things that you might know that you have an assurance. Well, that's just not getting anybody excited this morning. All right. Is anybody out there awake? Let's go to the Gospel of John. the 14th chapter. Gospel of John 14, and verse 14, John starts off and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now this is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's talking to the people that are gathered around. Now, a lot of times, you know, Jesus was in crowds of many thousands, not just the 12 disciples. And as he's talking to these individuals that are around, he's saying, don't allow the things of this world to trouble you. Don't allow really what you're about to see happen to me trouble you. Because if you believe in me, guess what? You're going to be with me. He goes on, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus was telling his disciples, he's going away and I'm going to come back and get you. Why? Because you're going to know the way. You're going to know how to get there. Why? Because I told you so. I prepared it for you. I'm not going away to just leave you. Doesn't excite anybody? These guys are being hard on me this morning. Jesus is preparing our mansions. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a mansion on this earth. I don't know what it's going to look like in heaven, but I do know this. It's going to look a whole lot better than anything I've ever had on earth. It's going to be a whole lot better than anything I've experienced on earth. It's going to be such a glorious time. You guys might have to help me with this, but years ago, probably about 15 years ago, there was a song came out, I Can Only Imagine. How many of you remember that song? I can't even remember who... Mercy me, I can only imagine. Because we can only imagine what it's going to be like. I can just imagine being at the feet of Jesus and worshiping. I can only imagine how wonderful that's going to be. You know, we think about this kind of stuff on Memorial Day, how our soldiers have gone before and secured our security. But think about Jesus that went before and secured our security, our freedom. He secured our eternal life in heaven to spend with the Father. That's how much Jesus loved us. That's how much God loved us. It wasn't an afterthought. The word tells us that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was slain from the foundations of the world. We weren't an afterthought. But see, I know we're living in a world where we can't quite grasp it. We can't quite put our finger on it. We're always in that battle of belief and doubt and unbelief and trying to figure out where it all starts. And in 1 Thessalonians, this is what the word said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Paul starts out this with one of my favorite phrases of Paul's. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. Brethren, who's he talking to? Come on now, who's he talking to? us. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica. The church of Thessalonica was in a quandary of, they were expecting Jesus back today. We need to be expecting Jesus back today. But they were expecting Jesus to come back today. They weren't expecting it to be down the road. And so they were in a quandary about what about the ones who were passing away and going on beyond them. And Paul says, well, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. How many of you know that God doesn't want us ignorant about anything, about the things of God? Amen? That's why he gave us this. He gave us his word so that we could study it, so that we could look at it, so that we could know that we know that we know what is true. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, we use this a lot in funerals, to give hope to those who are still here. How can I say this? We quote this scripture, realizing that we can't always have such concrete belief that no doubt ever enters. Anybody ever had doubt? Good, there's a few of you that are honest. You know, sometimes doubt just comes in at the weirdest times. Did God really mean this? Did he really mean that? Is this true? Is this, but you see, he wrote these things that we might know and have an assurance. So that when those doubts come in, we have something to fight those doubts with. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica so that the church would realize where their hope is at. So that the church wouldn't be going back and forth and saying that Jesus isn't coming back anymore. He's left us and gone, because that's not true. But you see, for those outside of Christ, they have no hope. And their sorrow is much different than ours. He's given us hope. He goes on to say this, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, I know there's coming a time when the Lord is going to come back. That last trump is going to sound, and all of a sudden, my feet are going to get light. And I'm going to start rising. I'm going to be like Enoch, who just started walking, and he just started walking on up into heaven, and he was, but he wasn't. Amen? I'm just going to be the same way when that trump calls, and I hear Jesus say, hey, Mark! It's time. Come on up here. That ought to excite you guys. Yeah, get excited, because that's the way it's going to be. And the world's going to look around and they're going to go, What is going on? But see, there's going to be those who have heard, and they're going to go, oh, my lands, it was true. But I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be with the Lord. But he says, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to know that Jesus is coming back for me. Whether I go by the grave or whether I go in the rapture, in glory, that it doesn't matter to me. Because I know he's coming back for me. First John 3. We'll go back to 1 John chapter 3. John says this, it's a really good passage here. He says, behold, in other words, look, be attentive to, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How many of you, I know I've said it before, but how many of you have always heard, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace? We're much more than that. We're not just sinners saved by grace. That's what we were. But now we're the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not sometime in the future. Now we are the sons of God. You got it, man. I don't think this does the same for you as it does for me. Now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Anybody here want to be like Jesus? Amen? That ought to be our goal in everything that we do, to be more like Jesus and less like anything else. Amen? And we can do that now. We can do that now. We don't have to battle the enemy. He's already defeated. He's already lost. All we got to do is walk in the victory. Amen? Amen? Well, we're starting to get some reason. Maybe I need to start preaching later. That's what it is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested or made known to take away our sins. Did you hear that, church? It's to take away our sins. We're not left to sin a little bit. He takes away our sins. We're not left to struggle and fight with sin. He takes away our sin. In other words, it's gone. We don't carry it anymore. Little children, let no man, back up two. Where did I stop at? Verse 5, that's right. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. So if we're in him, guess what, church? What is lacking? sin. There is no sin in him. Why? Because he took it away. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested or made known, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? Somebody shout amen. That we will not be in sin because he's taken it away. He's destroyed the works that the enemy has caused us to work. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Problem is, we want to resurrect it all the time. Now, before we go any further, I want you to understand a couple of these concepts. The word says here that he that commits sin is of the devil, right? But this word committeth, it's the word polyeo. And it means, if you go down and through the thing, it means basically to live in or to abide in, to agree with, to band together with, to bear. In other words, we stay there. He says he's come to take that away. And the word destroy is the word luo, and it means to completely destroy or dissolve, to loose, to melt, to put off, to break. It's not something that is just a little bit broken. It's not something that's just a little bit gone. A little bit of super glue can fix. It's destroyed. It's gone. Praise God, my sin doesn't exist anymore. I'm going to take us to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, this is John the Baptist speaking here. John the Baptist, he sees Jesus walking. He's baptizing people, and here's Jesus starts walking down the road. And listen to what John says here, because this is a prophetic word spoken by the John the Baptist. He says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. So he's coming right to John the Baptist. And he says this, behold the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. He didn't say he's going to cover it up. He didn't say that he was going to hide it somewhere. He said, this is the Lamb of God, and he's come to take away the sin of the world. Church, there is absolutely no reason for us to be dallying with sin. There's absolutely no reason for us to be friends with the enemy. Romans tells us that if we're friends of the enemy, then we're enemies of God. You see, there is no in-between. Too many people want to walk the fence, but we can't walk the fence. We're either on one side or the other. Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me. There's no in between there. We can sit in church for years and years and years and never allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. All we've done is sit in church. But the instant we ask Jesus to take our sins away, our sins are gone. They're shattered. They're broken. There is nothing left of them. We stand up and we rise up and we walk in victory from that moment on, knowing that the enemy no longer has any power over us. Amen? Why? Because now we're called the sons of God. He's given us the power to do that now, not in the future. Now we are the sons of God. If you're here this morning, maybe you've sat in church for years. You've never really allowed Jesus to cleanse you of your sin. Maybe you're listening on the live stream. And you've heard the message, but you've never allowed Jesus to take away your sin. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Come to Jesus. Ask him, Lord, just take my sin away. Cleanse me. Make me righteous before you.